Okay, right now we are we're in the middle of Zion of Bays. I'll just catch you up to what we were doing just until now. The Mishnah had just established, the Gemara had established, that that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the author of our Mishnah, and he held like Rabbi Shimon's opinion regarding regarding regalim, which means that three regalim in an order, and he held like, which means that Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah for the holidays was the 15th of Nisan, and he held like Rabbi Meir from Meiser Behema, which means Rosh Chodesh Elul. The Gemara asks, Ihachi Arba Chamisha Havu. Again, we're smack in the middle, making this number up, but about 14 lines in the bottom of the page. Ihachi Arba Chamisha Havu. The Gemara had said, the Mishnah had said that there are four Rosh Hashanah. And if you do the count now, you come up with five of them. Just to tell you what the five are one more time. It will be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it'll be the 15th of Nisan, it'll be the first of Elul, it'll be the first of Tishrei, and it'll be the Shvat discussion about the Ilanos. That's five, not four. So I'm a Rabba. Rabba says, Arba l'divrei kol. Everyone has at least four. Four is shared by everybody. Really? Bad. I don't think it is. Here it is. There are four according to everyone. Everyone has at least four. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would have five, because he would have, again, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. He would have the 15th of Nisan. He would have, 15th of Nisan, you would have Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and also Shvat. So that would be five. Everyone else would have four. And now we'll tell you everyone else gets four. Rabbi Meir Arba. Rabbi Meir has four because Dala Regalim. Rabbi Meir says he doesn't have the Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Hashanah of holidays starting from the 15th of Nisan, because he holds the first holiday you get to is when Baal Ta'acher comes up anyway. So he doesn't have that whole 15th of Nisan thing. So Rabbi Meir only has four because he can get rid of that one. And Rabbi Shimon, who does have 15th of Nisan, he argues and he says, Arba dal Meiser Behema. He holds Meiser Behema happens when? Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And therefore, there is no Rosh Chodesh Elul, according to him. There is one, but there's no Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And he also is left with only four Rosh Hashanahs. Okay. Now, again, we're still discussing some other answers of why we said four if really there are five. Again, let's bring it with the five one more time. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is for the Malachim. The 15th of Nisan is for the Regalim. The Rosh Chodesh of Elul is for Meister Behema. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is for Shanim, Yovlo, Shmita, Yerek, Yerakos, Netios. And Shvat, either Rosh Chodesh or the 15th of Shvat, is for Ilano. So that really would be five. So we said already, not everyone holds five. Some don't have, Rav Meir doesn't have one. Rav Shimon doesn't have the other one. Rebbe kind of brings them all in, but everyone says at least four. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak has a noob shot. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omer, Arba Chadashim. When he says four Rosh Hashanahs, what he means is there's 4 months the Rosh Hashanah is in them. And within those 4 months, you have many different Rosh Hashanahs that may come up, Rosh Hashanim that may come up in those months. Now, the Gemara says, if that's how we understand this shot, why is it four Rosh Hashanahs? It means 4 months Rosh Hashanah might be found. Mesir of Akasha. We see now two new Rosh Hashanahs that come up, that pop up. And we want to know then, according to these people, we should have more than four Rosh Hashanahs. Shisha Asar Benisan Rosh Hashanah La'Omer. The 16th of Nisan, the second day of Pesach, Rosh Hashanah regarding Omer. Again, I mentioned last time when you give the Korban of Omer, what that means is that the new grains can be now eaten. It's called Chadash. Now it turns into Yasha. Once you offer the Korban, you're allowed to eat now. The other grains of that year became Yasha. You're allowed to eat them right now. Not everyone's always mocking on those things. In America, I would say most people are not mocking on those things. Even in Israel, not everyone's mocking on those things. But that is something that is brought down. Many people are mocked to try to eat only Yashan foods. So Yashan happens the 16th of Nisan, the second day of Pesach, when the Korban of Omer is offered. That's Rosh Hashanah regarding Omer, regarding grains. And Shisha B'Sivan, which is called Shavuos, that's Rosh Hashanah L'Shtei Alechem. That same rule as we have with the grains, but instead of being for the average person, it refers to in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash also, you couldn't use the grains of this most recent year until Shavuos passed. When Shavuos passes, then all the grains that have been around until then are now permitted to be used. Otherwise, you have to use the ones that were a year ago and since last Shavuos. So those are two different times of Rosh Hashanah we have again of grains. One again is second day of Pesach. One is the day of Shavuos. And if that's the case, according to these opinions of Braisa, then the Rava listening to Shisha, according to Rava, Rava again, who said earlier on that every separate date, calendar date, would be a separate Rosh Hashanah. So now he has six Rosh Hashanahs, according to everybody. Because everyone seems to agree with these 2 days. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak should say Lisni Chamisha. He should say five Rishonos. One of them is not extra for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, because one of them was a Nisan. We mentioned Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak holds that every month there are four Rosh Hashanah months. And the one that's for the Omer is also in Nisan. That wouldn't be an extra month. We already had Nisan, Rosh Hashanah is already mentioned. That would just fall into those. But the one of Sivan, we never had mentioned before. So according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, you should still have five Rosh Hashanahs. So now we're trying to figure out again, if you held, if the Gemara would suggest that you have, it says four Rosh Hashanahs, and yet we count them, we get more than four. And if you look at other prices, you'll see more than those as well. So how come you only say four? So Amar Papa, Papa answers, Ki kachashiv midi dechayal me'orsa. When we're considering, when we're calculating the Rosh Hashanahs, we're only calculating things that fall at nighttime, that start at nighttime already. Right when that night, that thing comes, that night, again, the Jewish calendar works at night first and day afterwards. So only if at nighttime that thing would kick in already, then the Mishnah listed. Midi dechayal me'orsa, but things that would not start right away at nighttime, lo kachashiv, they would not count those. And therefore, the Shtei Alechem was a korban that was brought on Shavuos in the daytime. And it would only start in the daytime. That's not mentioned. 1 second. And we have the Omer also was brought only in daytime. And therefore, the Rosh Hashanah was only in daytime. Therefore, we're not mentioned it either. But yes? Says the Gemara, I'll show that's not true. Lari regalim, the lo chayli me'orsa v'kachashiv. The regal, again, what did the regalim mean? It meant that there's an isser called bal ta'acher. You can't delay your korban. Now, when a korban is brought? The daytime. Which means that the isser of over bal ta'acher, of not bringing your korban, should be at a time when you could bring a korban, which is the daytime. And therefore, regalim are mentioned in our Mishnah. And we think, as of now, that the isser really kicks in, the bal ta'acher kicks in only the daytime, not the night beforehand. The Gemara says, no. Now, these two words over here came in the Shetzarech, as put it in parentheses by the Bach, but we'll read it anyways. Came in Shetzarech, Lisuye Meikara, Mechaye Vekai. Since you were commanded, Rashi went out of here, the Chiyuv started when you made your original pledge to offer the Korban. At that point in time, the Chiyuv starts, and it really ends when the night of that first regal comes, that's when the Isser starts. It's not saying it's only Usser when the next day comes and you could have brought your Korban. The last day to bring your korban and not be over Baal Ta'acher is Erev Chag. And when the night time comes of that Chag, when the night begins and the Chag begins, the Isser starts right away. You can't bring the korban yet. It's okay. The last time to bring the korban was really the day beforehand, the day of Erev Chag. And the Isser of Baal Ta'acher starts even at a time when you can't bring a korban anymore, starts at nighttime when the Chag actually begins. And therefore, that would still be a nighttime starter and belongs in the Mishnah of Bezim and Aleph, as opposed to the Korban HaOmer, as opposed to the Korban Shtei Alechem. Again, the Omer brought in the second day of Pesach, and Shtei Alechem brought on Shavuot. Okay. It says the Gemara of Hare Yovlos, Lo Chalim Me'orsa V'Kashiv, but Yovel, which Rashi puts out over here, when you blow a shofar, which happens in the daytime, is when the Yovel rules apply. Again, Yovel is like Shemitah regarding the agricultural work that you cannot do. And it's also more than Shemitah even, in that the slaves are freed in Yovel, and certain lands that you may have purchased go back to the original owners on Yovel. And we say over here that kicks in, those rules kick in, we think right now, at the shofar blast. Shofar blast happens in the daytime. And therefore, Yovlos, lo chayli me'orsa, it doesn't start at night, it starts at daytime. Kachashim, the Mishnah still listed it, counted it, considered it as Rosh Hashanah days. How could that be? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Yochanan ben Brokah, Damar Rabbi Rosh Hashanah Chayil. So Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Yochanan ben Brokah, so he's the author of the Mishnah in this case. It would be like his opinion. And he says that Rosh Hashanah means the night of Rosh Hashanah is when the dinim of Yovel kick in. Rashi quoted that it's only when you blow a shofar on Yom Kippur that Yovel kicks in. The Gemara right now is telling you that's one opinion maybe, even though that's a questionable opinion in the first place. Rishmol says, not like that for sure. He says Rosh Hashanah at nighttime is when Yovel kicks in, even without the shofar blast. And therefore, because of that, a person... Therefore, it belongs in the Mishnah because it is a nighttime beginning Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Now, here's another shot. Yeah, sorry, Udo. What do you got?
What's the argument for it not starting at nighttime?
Why would it not? Or why would it doesn't?
I feel like logically all these things would start at nighttime.
Because ones, let's say for example, what is all of them do, except for the two we mentioned beforehand, which is the Korban HaOmer. Anything that's Korban related is not a nighttime event. Korbanos are not usually offered. They're offered in the daytime, not nighttime. And therefore, anything that's dependent upon a korban being offered, like Shtei Alechem, that permits the grains from this point forward in the Mikdash from this past year, that only is offered in the daytime. And the Korban HaOmer, the Sfiras HaOmer, is a Korban that's offered only in the daytime. So therefore, those
are argument between. So it's either whether the actual day starts or whether it's when the Korban is brought.
Exactly. That's the next part of the Gemara. Look at the next line of the Gemara. Here's what you're saying right now. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi Amar, he's a different shot, but it's more like Urdal saying right now, Ki Kachashiv, what it considers in the Mishnah, the list in the Mishnah, the Rosh Hashanah's, Midi Delo Talib Masa. Those are all non-action based, like the day comes, and this is the halacha, this is the din, this is the Rosh Hashanah. And there's no action required to kick it off. Midi Talib Masa, but something that is dependent upon an action, like Korbanos, as Urdal said, Lo Kachashiv, we're not going to consider them in the Mishnah. And therefore, again, whether you want to say it's nighttime versus daytime, or action-based versus just it happens on its own base, either way, that's why the Mishnah has a list of certain ones. And these two that we just described, which is the Korban HaOmer and the Korban Shtei Lechem, were not included in the Mishnah in our four Shoshanas, because those two are action-based things, and therefore only start also in daytime because they are action-based Korbanos. Yeah, Yehiel. We like his opinion. Yeah, we like his opinion.
If it's not him, then one second thing, see the action, or that this is not actions. But according to the other shitas, you do need to go to the shofar.
So right, so over here we say actually the Gemara that very soon. We see the Gemara right now. We see that 1 minute. Excellent question. The Gemara answers the following thing. It says the Gemara, "Vari regale immediately tell you the maaseh the kachashiv." But the whole of the regalim story was the idea of bal ta'achir of not offering a korban when you should have. And that also is depending upon a Maisa. Rashi points out over here, what Maisa do we have that Isser kick in, the Rosh Hashanah kick in? Once, is Rashi here quoting it, once you offer the Korban Tamid, that's, again, the Korban, you cannot offer a Neder and a Dovet. The Korban Tamid is the first thing that's offered in the daytime. And therefore, once you offer the Korban Tamid, the daily normal Korban of each and every day, now there's an Isser called Baal Ta'acher, which means that the Rosh Hashanah Regalim, which is what we call Baal Ta'acher, it really starts only after the first korban has been brought. The Gemara says again, no, we were told before to you. He says, Baal Ta'acher Mimela Chayo. We said, Baal Ta'acher, it happens automatically the night beforehand. The night before, we gave this answer before, we're now reminding you of the answer. Even though it's true that you couldn't offer the korban until you offered the korban Shel Tamid Shel Shachar, that is true, but we said like a few lines ago that the Isra of Baal Ta'acher is not bringing it right now, it's not having brought it Erev Chag. Once the nighttime kicks in, before any action is done, that's when Baal Ta'achar, the regalim, kick in. That's when the Isser really exists. We're almost done the sugya. I know it's hard for it's a little confusing, but we're almost done the sugya right now. It's the two dots right around the corner. Have Chesam Aleph right now. He asked Yechiel's question. Right, Yovos. We said before Yovel, which is Rashi went out here. You have to blow a Tkiyah shofar for Yovel, which means it's depending upon an action before the Isser kicks in. It shouldn't be in the Mishnah. He says no. Rabbi Yoshmael Benos Yerochim Broker. Again, the Mishnah would make sense if you hold the Rabbi Yoshmael Benos Yerochim Broker. That it starts Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the day, does not require any shofar blast, any action. It kicks in right away. Finally, Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is Urdal, yeah.
Even if you hold that it starts before you give the korban, it just starts that night, is it still mutually exclusive with the korban? Like if you just ditch the korban the next day, then it still doesn't work, or it's fine even.
One more time, Case.
Meaning, if it starts the night before,
yeah.
Do you still need
the Baal Ta'acher?
Yeah, or like the Yovos, let's say.
Okay, Yovo.
Yeah. So if it starts the night before, do you still have to bring if you just don't bring the korban the next day?
Well, the Yovo thing wasn't a korban thing. That was something else. That was the slaves go free. You can't do work the land. That happens right away. That's why it's Rosh Hashanah. Regarding the korbanos Baal Ta'acher, you're over an Isser. Right away, before the korban is brought. We discussed earlier on that if you're over the Isser, you still can bring it later on. The Isser is on you. You committed a crime, but the korban is still allowed to be brought afterwards, and it is brought afterwards, but you have a crime under your belt still.
But even if you bring the korban afterwards, it's still...
Even afterwards, you still committed a crime, but you delayed it.
Tell me, Gavrik.
All right. Right. Okay. Back in the... we're almost done over here again by the two dots almost. The Gemara gives one more shot. Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi says... Arba Rosh Hashanahim. There's four Rosh Hashanahs. Shein ba'arba Rosh Hashanahim. When it says in the Mishnah there are four Rosh Hashanahs, what it meant was there's more than four, but there's four that overlap with Rosh Chodesh. That's what it meant to say in the Mishnah. Again, there's more than four Rosh Hashanahs, but there's four Rosh Chodesh Rosh Hashanahs. And they are, we mentioned before, in Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, which is Malachim. We have Rosh Chodesh, Elul, which is for Meiser Behema. Rosh Chodesh, Tishrei, which is Shanim, Yovlos, Shmitos, Netios, Yerakos. And then the fourth one, and now is a little bit difficult, because the fourth one is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, according to Beis Shammai. But Beis Hillel says it's not Rosh Chodesh Shvat, it's Tu B'Shvat. And we paskin, as you know by our song, Rosh Chodesh Shvat Higiyach. No, it's not how it goes. Tu B'Shvat Higiyach Halilinot, which means we paskin like Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. What we here wants to understand, why am I saying four Rosh Hashanahs that fall in Rosh Chodesh? Says the Gemara over here, Be'ech B'Shvat Ki Beis Shammai? Question mark. According to you, that the first of Shvat are four Rosh Hashanahs that fall on the four. On the four Rosh Chodeshes, that means that you're holding like Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel. We don't do that. What's the shot over there? So the Gemara Hachikam, this is what it means to say. Social divrei kol. There's three according to everybody of that fall Rosh Chodesh, and be'echa b'shvat regarding the fourth of Shvat, which is the first of Shvat, which is the fourth Rosh Chodesh that might be a Rosh Hashanah. That's a machlokes Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. So again, we have a few different ways we understood the Gemara regarding whether why it says four if it really is more than four. Either there's four because we only talk about four things start at nighttime, not daytime. Or four things that don't require any action for them to kick in. Or four Rosh Chodesh Rosh Hashanahs. Either one that explained all the sheetahs of our Mishnah. That's where we are done with this part. Now it's a whole new sugya starting from the two dots towards the top of Chesam Aleph. We mentioned before there's a machlokas whether or not Rosh Chodesh from Meiser, Rosh Hashanah from Meiser Behema, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, or Rosh Chodesh Elul. We quoted Rosh Chodesh Elul, that was the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And according to Rabbi Shimon, be'echad b'tishrei. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, this is machlokas, shneim mikra echad darshu. They actually, both opinions, both shitas, learn out from the same pasuk. They just darshan it differently. The pasuk of Shemar, livshu karim hatson, the amakim yatu bar, yisro'u af yashiru. Which means literally, let the flock of sheep be clothed. And over here, Rashi says, love shoe over here means not clothed, but become pregnant. The flock should become pregnant. The amakim yatzu bar, and the valleys will be crowned with grain. Yisra'u af yashu. They shout, and they even sing. Okay, now we'll see what that means in a minute from now. Rimeir says, emasai love shoe karamatzon. When do the karamatzon become pregnant? When do the animals become pregnant? It's mancha amakim yatzu bar. Next passage says, well, over here, when the valleys become full of grain. That's when the son become pregnant. The emasai amakim yatzu bar. When does that happen? When do the valleys become full of grain? But other become full of grain and other. So that means when do people become pregnant? That animals. But other. But other. I lost my place. Hurry.
The
other. Miss Abra's but other. Thank you. They became pregnant in other. The oldest bab. It's a 5-month gestation, a 5-month pregnancy. So Adar, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz Av. 9 months is for people like us. But for animals, it was, for these type of animals, these smaller animals, it was a like sheep. It was a 5-month gestation period. They would become pregnant in Adar. They would give birth in Av. So it makes sense. That's the end of that year's cycle. Rosh Hashanah, Shalahan El, and therefore Rosh Hashanah for the Meiser Be'ema of taking animals that were born that year and giving offerings to the Kohanim, to the base of Mikdash. So that would happen at the end of the birthing season. And the birthing season really finishes up at Av. So Elul is Rosh Chodesh. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. What are the other people saying? If that's Rabbi Shimon Omer, they say same pasuk, but you read it differently than I would have read it. It says, Emasai love Shukar Matzon. When do the animals become pregnant? It says in the very end of that pasuk, Bizman Shisro'u Av Yashiru. When the animals, when the noise, they're shouting and singing. Rashi explains over here what that means is that the fields, the winds are like brushing the crops back and forth, and they're banging each other. They're banging and hitting each other, and that makes noise as if they're shouting and screaming. So when is the windy season that the grains are on the stalks and they're making noise by the wind? So Amosai Shibolim Omro Shira. When do these stalks say Shira through the wind, banging them back and forth? Benisan. It happens in Nisan. 5 months. Misabros Benisan. Yolos Be'elol. They give birth in Elol. So what should the Rosh Hashanah be? Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei, and that is how they each get to the opinion that they get to, based on that pasuk. They both argue about what the pshat pasuk is, but they both read the same pasuk, and they learn how the pasuk to understand that the pregnancy of the animals is tied into something else, and 5 months later is when they're going to be born. And that's the normal season of birthing for this flock for the sheep, And therefore, it makes sense to have Meister Beima at the end of that season. So either Rosh Chodesh At, Rosh Chodesh Elul, or Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Yes, Yechiel.
But didn't we say before that also during we had a whole discussion that, and then we said, so Nisan is the one that we have the fruit. And then we said, no, also during other, we have the fruit, towards the end of other.
Yeah.
So then why can't it be
that? That was the ripening. Ripening, I mean, the bishul of the fruit. Different parts of a different, different. Here it's like it's already ripened, it's already ripe. We'll see very soon. What's that?
It's also an ER.
The Gemara said, I think it was that was not the.
It's not only an Nisan with the fruit.
No, we said in ER there isn't any. I think in Adar there might be some early ones, but in the ER we said there's no ripening. I thought no.
No, but there is them. They're ready to cut.
No, they're not ripened. They're already ripe beforehand. Right. They already were ripe. Here's a ripening is what they come over there.
No, there's no other ripening.
There's other ripening. There is.
Then why can it be other?
It could be other. That's one of the chapters. But over here, because ripening doesn't make the noise. It's growing. It's not making the noise.
So when does the noise?
That's the wind. Because the wind. The wind is more causing the noise.
The noise happens during
Nisan.
And year. No?
Doesn't say it over here. Doesn't say year over here. That part which we asked about year, we said not. Somebody said it wasn't year. It was just.
Is only in Nisan.
The wind with the noise with the crafts. It's only in Nisan. Sounds like that. Okay. The Gemara now is bothered. What does the Gemara say right now? The Gemara says that each person gave a nice shot, but each person ignored part of the pasuk. Right? Each shot they gave, there were three lines, and one line was about the pregnancy of the animals, and then they compared it to do different things, and the pesukim had two different things on it. But each one only quoted one of those two things. So what about the other one that it kind of ignored? We say to Rabbi Meir, I don't understand. You use the first two lines of the pasuk, but the third one, you ignore the one about the Nisan season. So who is what my son Yehiel was saying before? Who? But Afelta, the Abiyam ben Nisan. That third line refers to the late bloomers. That would be in Nisan, but there are late bloomers. Really, everything really grew mostly in other, and that's really when the animals become pregnant. V'idach, so going back to the Rebbe Elazar Shimon, how come they ignored the first pasuk? Nam Yaksiv Amakim Yatzu Bar. Says that the valleys have these. You ignore the pasuk. The valleys have in them the grain that's fully grown. That's the crown of grain. Who becharif the charif yasa the asyan meadar. This is the early bloomers. The early bloomers. The charif, the sharp ones, the quick ones that came in other. That's what it's referring to. So now the Gemara here says here the pasuk references there's those that bloom earlier or those that bloom later, but the regular time of bloom is when the animals become pregnant. And that's what each person's opinion, which one the regular was, would be what would cause that machlokas. When should they have their Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema? Gemara says over here, I'm not fully satisfied with both opinions, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Rishon L'Rabbi Meir, Kidichsiv, Lavshu, Karim, Hatzon. We can read Rabbi Meir's pasuk very well. It says, when the animals become pregnant, Bisman Amakim, Amakim, Yatzu, Bar. When the valleys are, again, are fully crowned with grain, when the grain has been developing in the fields, and then the next pasuk would say the economy. There also are those who are later Yisrael Afishiru that even later on will shout and scream and sing to Hashem because the wind knocks them together and it sounds like they're singing. So the pasuk makes sense according to Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Ibchum by the should say the opposite. It should have the pasuk should have been different if they were correct. Also, Karim Hatzon should say that the animals become pregnant when Bisman Yisrael Afishiru. At the time when the singing is taking place in the fields, I mean the wind is blowing them the crops back and forth and it's hitting each other making noises, and then it's just that and they're even ikanami damakim the emakim yatzubar. There also are times when they even come earlier and it makes the valleys are crowned with grain. It should have said in that order. The order he gave him was very strange according to Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Again, all three parts, one of which is describing the animals coming pregnant, and it's basing upon one of the two time periods, but the time period it should base it on is the one that follows animals coming pregnant. The one that's really the rare exception, the aberration, should have been written last. So according to Mary, it was written last, and that's good. When it was Rabbi Shimon, it's not written last, it doesn't read well anymore. The Gemara says, you know what? You're right. This can't be the source of their machlokas, is that pasuk. We know it's some pasuk. So what pasuk is the argument, the source of machlokas, whether or not Rosh Chodesh Elul or Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is the month for is the time for Rosh Hashanah for the Meiser Behema. New pshat. El Amar Rav. Rav says the following pshat. Kuli Alma love Shukar Matzon Bisman Shamakim Yatzubar. But other. Everyone agrees how the grains grow. Everyone agrees the grains grow as Rabbi Meir described in the pasuk we attribute to Rabbi Meir beforehand. The pasuk was understood is that love Shukar Matzon when do the animals become pregnant? Mismatcha amek shevikim yatzu bar. When the valleys are growing the grain, which is ba'adar. Everyone agrees. Even Rabbi Elazar and Shimon agree that the animals become pregnant adar, which would mean they give birth in av. Everyone agrees with that. So what's our machlokas? So v'hacha v'haikra quickly. They're arguing about the following pasuk. It says in the pasuk aser to aser, which means like you shall surely take tithes, take meiser. And the Gemara references two meisers, aser to aser. Because Gemara b'shrei maseros akasim davar. The Torah is speaking in two different maseros, two different mentionings of taking tithes. Echad meiser behebav, echad meiser dagan. One of them is about taking the tenth of the animals that were born of that given year, and one is a tenth of the crops that you or meiser of the crops that you grew that particular year. Now, there's what's called a hekesh. The pasuk is giving you a hekesh. It's giving you a connection between this type meiser and that type meiser. And this machlokas here is going to be, what is the hekesh? So, Meir Savar Nakish Meiser Behemoth the Maaser Dagan. The Torah is telling you to connect the rules of Meiser Behemoth to the rules of Maaser Dagan. What's the rule we're connecting? Ma Maaser Dagan Samach L'Gamro Isuro. Just like when it comes to the grains. When you finish growing it, right afterwards, when you should do Meiser on it. And therefore, Af Maaser Behemoth. So to Maaser Behemoth, which is grown or birthed in Av. Samach L'Gamro Isuro. That's when the Meiser should be an El. Sorry, Meir. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savar, they argue. They say no. I agree there's a connection between Meister Behema and Meister Dagan. Makish Meister Behema, the Master Dagan. But not the connection you raised. My Master Dagan, Rosh Hashanah Shalom Tishrei. Ah, Master Behema, Rosh Hashanah Shalom Tishrei. What's the connection between the Meister Dagan and Meister Behema? The connection is a much more of a simple thing. When do we say is the Rosh Hashanah of it? The Rosh Hashanah of Meister of crops is Tishrei. And therefore, the Rosh Hashanah of Meister Behema should also be Tishrei. That's how the Gemara here concludes the machlokas we have with Meir versus Rav Shimon. When do we assume Meiser Behemoth should be? It's definitely learned out based upon the rules of Meiser Dagan, of crops Meiser. The question is, do we do based upon the proximity of its finishing to its taking Meiser off it? That's what Meir says. Therefore, it should be taken off, and the Rosh Hashanah of Meiser Behemoth should be Rosh Chodesh Elul. Or you say, no, what we learn out from Meiser Dagan is just like Meiser Dagan's Chiyuv was on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, so too is the Meiser Behema on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Okay. Take a quick breather. We're the two dots right now. We're going to go a little further. We mentioned beforehand that Echad Tishrei has a whole new sugya. You didn't follow anything? It's a whole new sugya. One second. Seems to be we paskin like Echad Tishrei. The Mishnah over here quotes it. I didn't look inside. The Mishnah quotes the Psak Halacha. It looks like it is Echad B'Tishrei, like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So it looks like. Okay. The Echad B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. What does it mean, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim? What does it mean? It's a new year for years. So Lamayah, so what halachic ramification does this have? Amar Papa L'Shtaros. It's matters regarding documentation. That now the Mishnah Shtari Chov Hamukdamin Suvin Mucharim K'sherim. And when it comes to documents of debt, we've seen this before, and we'll discuss it right now. We've seen before, and documents of debt and financial documents, if they're written mukdamin, if you predated the document, we mentioned last time the reason why it's possible, because then it gives you the chance to take someone else's money inappropriately, you collect from someone else, and you shouldn't be. But if it's mu'acharin, if it was a post-dated document, that would still be a kosher document. So we see over here that dates matter to us, and therefore that's what it's for. It's for dating the document. The verse of here, but now we learn the Mishnah. Be'echa ben Nisan Rosh Hashanah Malachim. We learn the Mishnah that in the first Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings. But Amrina, we ask over there, so what was the reason, halachic ramifications? Amr B'chizda, l'shtaros. He said, it's for same answer you gave, for shtaros. So I don't understand. There you said it matters for shtaros, and you said Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And now you're saying it matters for shtaros, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So the Gemara says, Lokash. We saw this already, right? The Gemara's going to ask this right now. One of them was Ishtaros for Jewish kings and to calculate their dates of reign. One was Ishtaros of non-Jewish kings and to calculate their years of reign from Tishrei. Jewish kings from Nisan and non-Jewish kings from Tishrei. Question, Yechiel.
But even if you do it later, it's still a problem for the guy that's renting you the house or selling you.
But he's the one who wrote the document, so he kind of gave up on that when he made a mistake. That's his mistake he's got to live with, basically. But it's a good question. Okay. The Gemara has a problem. Sorry, Earl, yeah.
Wait, so the halakhas are different whether it's a Jewish king or a non-Jewish king?
The halakhas are different in that if I was going to be dating the year of his reign, it's not a different halakha. It's when do you start calculating the year of his reign?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the same thing over here. Same thing over here. The year of the reign changes for the Jewish king from Nisan, and the year of the reign changes for the non-Jewish king from Tishrei. Yechiel.
We say if he's a good king, then you would count him like
the... We suggest that if he's a good king, maybe we would count him like the Jewish kings as well. Correct. Okay. Gemara says, 1 second. That's a nice pshat. We have a problem with that pshat. What's that pshat? Problem with that? If that's the case, we have now the Mishnah telling us that we have two separate calculations of when kingdoms reign. Jewish kings on Nisan, should the calculation should change, and we should then document the dates of the reign of Nisan the next year. And then non-Jewish kings, we do that for Tishrei. And Uriel said, oh yeah, we remember doing that beforehand. Remember because Rav Chisda told us that pshat beforehand. Gemara now asks, Rav Chisda, Masnisan Asalashim Inan, Rav Chisda, who told us this pshat a number of datum ago, what's he telling us? It's a Mishnah. Meaning, Rav Chisda early on said, by the way, just so you know, the rules of Jewish kings is on Nisan, and non-Jewish kings, that they change when you calculate the star according to their time in government on Tishrei. Rav Chisda told us that a number of datum ago. Rav Chisda, why are you telling me what the Mishnah says? It's not a Chiddush. Rav Chisda is an Amora. The Mishnah is from the Tanaitic words, Tanaitic time period. Why would Rav Chisda tell me something that the Mishnah tells me straight out anyways? Rav Chisda, Masnisa and Asalash, you know, he's coming to teach me. The Mishnah already, he's going to teach me in a few lines afterwards. What's Rav Chisda doing here? Trying to take credit for a shot that the Mishnah had said explicitly itself? Or says, low. No, that's not what happened. Rav Chisda, cry Asalash, you know, he's trying to tell you Psukim. He's trying to show you which Psukim we learn out these rules from. If you look back at the Gimel Aleph, you'll see Rav Chisda went into great detail to show and prove to us that the Jewish kings changed on Nisan and the non-Jewish kings changed on Tishrei. He wasn't telling us this din when he said this rule over. He was trying to show us from the Mishnah where it told us this din. How do you see that in the Pesukim itself inside? That's shot number one, how to understand what it means, Lashonim. It means really for the reigning years of the non-Jewish kings. New pshat, Yibai Zema, shot number two. Rav Chisda told us the Chiddush, it was actually his Chiddush about the kings. And the Mishnah, when it says Lashonim, it didn't mean the non-Jewish years, as we thought. Rather, Kribi Zera Masnila. He learned our Mishnah over here of what Rosh Hashanah Lashonim means, like Rabbi Zera learned it. The Rabbi Zera Amar L'Tkufa. Rabbi Zera says, what does Rosh Hashanah Lashonim mean? It means, Tkufa means the era that the world was created in. That things start, Rosh Hashanah time of Tishrei, that is when the world was created, that was when the seasons begin again, that's when the new year begins again. L'Tkufa. Rav Lezer, the Amar, we'll see later on, the Gemara will talk about this. But Tishrei Nivra Olam is actually Machlokas, whether the world was created in Tishrei or Nisan. But according to the video of the year, and me and Aaron and I spoke about this topic on voice notes, again, you can find the recordings there, and Aaron will send it to you. The world was created in Tishrei, in time of Tishrei, that's when mankind was created. And therefore, that's what Shana means. Shana means the world, when we're counting the world was created during the month of the month of Tishrei. That's what Shanim really means. It doesn't have to do with calculating the Shtaros. That may be true also. That's not what the Mishnah meant, according to Rav Chisda. Rather, like Rabbi Zera said, is that the world started, the Shanim of the world started by that period of time. Father Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, a new pshat, this is what we know to be true, Ledin. The reason why we care about Shanim, wasn't Rosh Hashanah, it means regarding judgment. That is the time when the year is being judged. I mean, Hashem judges what's going to happen in the course of the year on Rosh Hashanah of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. As it says, Mereishit Hashana V'ad Acharit Shana. It says from the beginning of the year until the end of that year. Meaning, what will occur over the course of that year is determined and decided on the Rosh Hashanah for Shanim, which is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which we call it Rosh Hashanah. It means Mereishit Hashana Nidon Mayeh B'Sofa. That in the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, it will be determined and decided what happens over the course of that entire year. Okay, that's the case. Very nice. But my Tishrei who? How do we know that's Tishrei? So I believe there to be a case. There is a Rosh Hashanah of some sort in our year that will be the one for Hashanah. How do you know that this is the one? Same says in the pasuk, Tikhu b'chodesh shofar, b'keset liyom chagenu, which means blow in that chodesh the shofar. Which chodesh? B'keset liyom chagenu. B'keset. What does it mean b'keset? It says Rashi. It says the Gemara. And bottom of b'keset ma'alaf, now b'keset ma'beis. Ezu Chag, turn the page, Shachodesh Mitzkaseh. But what is the one Jewish holiday that the month is covered, that the moon, the Chodesh, but the moon is covered, means you can't see the moon? It's only in Rosh Hashanah, because every other holiday is the 15th of the month, the 7th of the month, the 10th of the month. Whatever it is in the end, it's nothing's Rosh Chodesh besides Rosh Hashanah. It's only one of the first month. And the moon, we know, Rosh Chodesh, is hidden. The moon does not really shine much in the very beginning of the month. And therefore, what is the month that we know the moon is hidden? That's the month that we have a holiday then. That's Rosh Hashanah. Hashem Omer is Rosh Hashanah. What does it say by the Rosh Hashanah? It says by regard to Rosh Hashanah, it says, Ki chok l'Yisrael hu, mishpat l'lokei Yaakov. It is a law for Israel, and it is the judgment time for the God of Yaakov. And therefore, we see that Rosh Hashanah is described as a time of judgment. And now we know that the holiday that has the moon covered up is the holiday of judgment. Okay, a little further. Tan Rabbanan. We're going to go back to that pasuk right now. Ki chok l'Yisrael hu, mishpat l'lokei Yaakov. It is a law of is the chok for Israel and the mishpat for Elokei Yaakov. What does that mean? Lamashain Basin Shalmala Nichnas and Ladin Elim Kane Kitchu Basin Shalmata. A Basin Shal as a Chodesh. A Basin Shalmala, meaning Hashem on Rosh Hashanah time, will not go in and begin and start off the judging process until Basin Shalmata has already been Makadosh Chodesh, meaning we've established already that it is, in fact, the new month, and therefore the new year. That's why it says over here, Ki chok l'Yisrael hu, first Yisrael makes the law, the chok, Rosh Chodesh, and then Mishpat l'kei Yaakov. Only afterwards is the Mishpat l'kei Yaakov. Okay. Tanidach, another teaching we have in a very similar type of psukim, Ki chok l'Yisrael hu, ein li ela l'Yisrael. We must all mean, how do you know, this sounds like over here, the only a rule and judgments for Israel for the next year. How do you know it even applies to all the nations of the world? Havalomer Mishpat l'kei Yaakov. It's a judgment done by the God of Yaakov, not only to Israel, but to everybody. So in Cain, Matam Lomar Kikok Israel, why are we singing out Israel then? La Mechi, Israel Nichnas and Tchiladin. We get judged first. They bring us into the judgment first. Why? Can Rav Chizda? Because it follows like Rav Chizda's logic. Number of Chizda, Melech Mitzibor, if I have a king to be judged, and his congregation, his pupils to be judged, Melech Nichnas Tchiladin. The king comes first. Shneimar, Mishpat Abdo, Mishpat Amo. This is over here, Shlomo Melech talking about himself. Mishpat of Shlomo Melech about himself, the king. Then afterwards, Mishpat of his nation. My time, why is that the logical order? So two answers. Ebay's aim, if you want, you can say, Lav Orech Ara Lameka Malka Avrai. It's not Orech Ara, it's not Derech Eretz. It's not Derech Eretz to put the king in the back and make him wait. It's not Derech Eretz. Ebay's aim, and some say, different shot, is Machmid Leifusharun Af. Before the judgment gets nasty, because of all the people, you know, before the Nifush means it gets a lot of Charun Af, of anger, Hashem's going to hear all the peasants and all the Amayarites, people who are not pious individuals. I'm not saying by the peasants. I don't mean that by as far as money goes. I mean by as far as mitzvahs go. People who are weak in their mitzvahs, who are Amayarites in their mitzvah performance, so they can get Hashem angry. So why should the king come on the heels of that? He should come beforehand. Hopefully, be a letter judgment for the king before the Hashem gets upset with the nation. Yeah, Aaron.
Are we referring to the king as the Jews here?
We're comparing now the king in this context would be like the Jews, exactly. Correct.
And then also, oh, yeah, when we're saying that, like, the heavenly court doesn't go into effect until we sanctify the month.
Yeah.
So meaning what? Like, on Rosh Hashanah, we sanctify it?
Because first we do Kiddush HaKodesh to know that the prior month of Elul has ended. And now that Rosh Hashanah is starting, is because Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is starting. We with our Adas, with our Beis Din, have stopped the month of Elul and entered the month of Tishrei, and that's when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is. That's when Rosh Hashanah is as well. That's what it means. So it's asked to start with us, and then that's when Hashem judges afterwards. Shkoyach, everyone, have a great Shabbos. Great to see you all. Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Sunday morning. What's your real?